Welcome to the Fantasy Football Foursome. The Foursome answer your questions about players to pick up, players to drop, weekly matchups, injury reports, and current trends in fantasy football. Now, here's the host of the Fantasy Football Foursome, John Jennings.
Good Saturday morning. Week 7 has arrived of the NFL season, and it is time for another edition of the Fantasy Football Foursome. This show comes to you each and every week. Thanks to these great sponsors, that's Ruff's Wings and Sports Bar, ACC Midwest Transportation, West Central Trophies, and the United States Marine Corps. Let's introduce and let's talk about how things are going for the season so far. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, I'm Eric LeBratton from Hutchinson, Minnesota. I've just been, I believe, other than the eight-man that I got knocked out in week 2, I am in first place in all my leagues. So I would definitely listen to me over Jack, who will definitely go down in a blaze of glory here in the final weeks.
Justin?
I'm doing pretty good in all my leagues. I'm still alive in all my guillotines. I'm up there in the top 2 in my division in our league record, the Boom League. So it's not like last year where I won almost every league I was in. I think this year is going to be a little bit more of a grind to get through the playoffs.
Jack?
Remember when the Patriots got beat by the Giants in the playoffs?
Yes.
All right. That's going to be Eric, right? You can do all you want till game time, right? But you ain't going home with the trophy. I started in 6 leagues. I'm still in 6 leagues. And I'm in the top 4 in scoring in any 10-man plus league. Basically, I'm betting everything on the Miami offense. But I'm dominating this year. This is definitely the only year I would listen to me. My name's going on the trophy, John. It's not like I traded Raheem Mostert or anything like that. I mean, come on.
That's exactly what I did. My name is John Jennings, and middle of the road, but still in my guillotine league, staying alive, trying to scotch tape together a team every single year. At least this year for sure. For the next hour, we're going to be talking about fantasy football. Our goal is to help you win your league. And if we can help you with anything like that, yes, the Loon text line is still down. So go get that free 94.1 The Loon app. In the lower right-hand corner, there's a little blue circle down there, and you can text message the station through the app. Time for the ACC Midwest Transportation Injury Report. I'm going to skim through these because tomorrow you're going to want to know for sure whether or not these guys are in or out. Christian McCaffrey, oblique strain. I don't even know if they need him against the Vikings. David Montgomery, rib cartilage, he's out. Kyren Williams, ankle sprain, he's out. Cooper Kupp, all good there. Debo Samuel, type 1 AC sprain, not too concerning. He should be in. Trevor Lawrence, left knee injury. His MRI was negative. He should be all right. Josh Allen has a painful shoulder injury. He should be ready to go this week. Daniel Jones, who cares? He might. I don't think he's going to go. I think it's going to be the Tyrod Taylor show again. Ramondre Stevenson, a new ankle injury. Not overly concerning. Should be okay to go. Sam Laporta, calf strain. Not super effective. He should be all right, but then there's a high risk of re-injury on his part. Justin Fields hurt his thumb. He is going to probably be out for sure. He tried to pop it back in, and that didn't work out so well for him. And Tyreek Hill cramping, no problems there. DeAndre Hopkins, he'll be fine. But as always, watch tomorrow's broadcast to find out if they are in or out. It is week 7. It is a terrible bye week, but let's pretend, fellas, like there are no byes. We are at a point where we got to start thinking about why are some of these guys taking up space on our bench? And I think I know the answer for all of them, but I'm going to throw them past you. Are these guys you're thinking about cutting, you would cut, you have cut, or do they have to stay on your bench? And I'm going to kick it off with you, Eric. Jahan Dotson, wide receiver, Washington.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I wanted to give a little shout out. Uncle Pauly from the Rocky movies passed away, so you know, it's sad news. Uncle Pauly.
Rest in peace.
Dotson, you know, he's not on any of my squads, John. He's a guy worth stashing away on the bench. You know, the new quarterback out there in Washington, he's looking good. He's learning the offense. I think he's worth stashing away. He's not a guy that I would drop unless you have a really stacked bench like I do on most of my teams. But I think for most of you, the John Jennings and the Jack Culbertsons of the world, you probably want to keep him on your bench.
Justin, running back Javonte Williams.
Get up, you son of a bitch, because
Oh, it's one of the greatest lines ever. Mickey loved you. You know, it's one of my favorite lines in cinematic history. Okay. Sorry, John. I was so stricken by the news of Uncle Paulie passing that I completely missed what you just asked.
I said running back Javonte Williams, Denver Broncos.
Oh, yes. I don't see any reason to keep him. I mean, it's been 6 weeks. He's had every opportunity in the world. The Broncos are terrible. You're going to hang on to him because he's a starting running back, right? So let me back up. There's like two or three players right now that like would be worth burning every single penny of your fab or your free agent budget on, right? Tyreek Hill is obviously one of them. Christian McCaffrey is obviously one of them. But as I was kind of going through my guillotine leagues and strategizing and thinking about looking at teams, it's like, you know, there's really no reason to wait out for the top waiver wire pick in guillotine leagues this year because scoring as a whole is down. It's the second lowest it's been in 10 years for offenses. There's only a couple running backs that are really consistently giving you a performance. So I would say if you're going to drop Williams, who are you dropping him for? And that's really all that matters for all of these players, right? Roster construction. Would I feel bad about dropping Javonte Williams if you are – or if you need like a wide receiver? No, you got to do what you got to do to be able to formulate a starting lineup. It's highly unlikely I'm going to drop Williams personally. Just again, he's starting running back, but
all right.
I would understand if other people did.
Jack, Rashad Bateman, Baltimore wide receiver.
Absolutely. Dump any Baltimore player you have, including Lamar Jackson. The whole team's garbage. Kicker's the only one on there that's worth a crap. I might keep the tight end, but no, I don't like Baltimore's offense. I don't like their scheming. I haven't liked it in a long time. I mean, when they win games, to me, they win very ugly. So there's not really anyone there that I would keep. And I want to point out two things, John. Eric wants to pick on me about wide receiver rosters. Yeah, Tyreek Hill, Tyler Lockett, Gabe Davis, Deebo Samuel. Yeah, I'm hurting at the wide receiver position there in the Loon League, but that's my bad. Maybe it's my quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. I don't know. And then secondly, let's not forget how pivotal Uncle Paulie was in the Rocky movies. He introduced Rocky to Adrian. He also had my favorite line from the movie almost, which is, I'm the silent majority.
Wow.
He's talking to the Russian propaganda guy. And he's the reason Rocky had to go back to the hood after he got back from Russia. He'd misplaced, a couple $100 million. So Uncle Paulie, pivotal role.
Not assuming that we were going to be spending a lot of time on Uncle Paulie, but yes, rest in peace for sure.
Kids. We're 80s kids, man. When we work out, we put on the Rocky soundtrack. If you don't, you're not really working out.
You're not an American, right? Yeah, other names I had down too: Treylon Burks, Najee Harris. What has he done? Zach Ertz. I don't know, but
you got to keep Najee. You got to keep Najee just because, in my opinion, there's not enough running back depth. The same as Javonte Williams. Like Justin, I agree with you. Said roster structure, overall scoring really, really matters at when you're looking at your deal. But unless you have an embarrassment of riches at running back, you can't drop a Javonte Williams or any. In my opinion, any running back that has the potential to be a starter. Just keep them on the bench if you have the spot. I mean, there's no reason to like have a fifth wide receiver that may or may not do something, in my opinion. Not with the running backs. There's not enough good ones.
Roster cloggers. All right, we're going to come back and talk daily fantasy news and strategy. It's the Fantasy Football Foursome on the Loon. We're back on the Fantasy Football Foursome, the Rocky Balboa edition, one of those moments again where you wish you had tape rolling in between the commercial breaks. All right, time to talk daily fantasy news and strategy for week 7. Big, big bye week. We will get to that during Trenchum and Benchum. What do you see for quarterback values out there, Eric?
All right, John. Well, I'm going to save about $3,000 and stay away from like Patrick Mahomes and Jared Allen. I'm going to give you Brock Purdy. Looking good out there in San Francisco going up against the Giants. Even worse, going up against the Vikings. So against that bad Vikings defense, they're going to give up lots of points. I like Purdy for 3 touchdowns and 300 yards. So I think he's a safe play for only $5,500.
Justin.
I think I'm gonna take the shot on old Jordan Love, $5,800 for the Packers going against the terrible Denver Broncos, who are ranked 31st against quarterbacks. I didn't think Love has a pretty solid game. I mean, they can't get the running game going in Green Bay at all, so they're going to have to pass. So I'd like Jordan Love for $5,800.
Quarterbacks, Jack.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with some Jared Goff this week at Baltimore. I just got through talking about how bad Baltimore is, and I know the opponent ranking on DFS is going to say Baltimore's first against the QB position. However, he just put up 25.5 against Tampa Bay, 27.5 against Carolina, whose defense is actually pretty darn good. So against good defenses, he's done well. So I think for, $6,400, I like what Detroit's got going on.
I'm going to save you some money. I think this is a DFS or a GPP play, not a cash play. Don't do it in cash. But for $4,800, you can pick up a little Phil Walker, also known as PJ. He did have a serviceable week last week against a pretty dang good Niners defense. He got you only 192 yards, but this week it's the Colts. And the Colts, I think the four of us could start in the defensive backfield for the Colts.
John, PJ Walker will be the lowest scoring fantasy quarterback this week.
That's fine.
Of every quarterback this week.
Not even the case. At 4,800, no way. There's no chance. I don't know. I think that's a great value. Saves you some money so you can get some of those higher end wide receivers. I think he's a great GPP play. We'll circle those wagons next week and talk about that. Running backs, Justin, what are you seeing out there?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna get Josh Jacobs in my lineup this week. This is kind of a gut feeling. He's pricey, $7,400, but he plays the Chicago Bears, and I think this is a game where, you know, Jacobs has one of those 160 yards, few touchdowns, and kind of carries the offense. So I like Josh Jacobs at $7,400. A little pricey, but great matchup.
Jack.
Well, I'm going to get Isaiah Pacheco in the lineup. $6,100. Chargers coming to Kansas City, home game for them, 425 time. Averaging 15 points a game. Chargers are in the back half of defense against running backs. Not a lot of offensive weapons there for Patrick Mahomes, but that Chargers rush game is legit. So before someone can get home, you know, he might have to do a lot of those little dump offs, 5-10 dump offs, and then I don't know if you've been noticing, but Pacheco's been turning some big runs in off of some really small short passes. So for $6,100, I think he's a good, almost like a chalk for the running back.
Eric, running backs.
You know, I'm going to give you the name Brian Robinson going up. They got an easy matchup this week, and this guy's ready for a breakout game. He had a breakout game in week three, so I could see him easily having 25 fantasy points. And he's very, very inexpensive at $5,500. He's like half as much as McCaffrey, and I think he'll be right up there.
So I'm going to give you two value plays again because, well, that's where I tend to stick. If I want to spend money, you've got to cut costs somewhere. And I think you can do that pretty effectively this week. And I think a lot of people are going to have them. I think they're going to have high ownership rates. Zach Evans, number one, LA Rams, going up against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, who does not have a very good defense. Kyren Williams is out. Ronnie Rivers is out. That brings in Zach Evans. I think the Rams signed Daryl Henderson and Royce Freeman, a couple of animated corpse from the past. Zach Evans was actually dressing and out on the field and not doing special teams. So I think we got some fresh legs in L.A. The other one is Roschon Johnson at $4,600. Chicago Bears taking on the Raiders. He's going to be the next man up. He had to clear concussion protocol, which is why he didn't play last week. I like him as a runner and a pass catcher. And what else can you ask for $4,600? How about wide receivers, Jack?
Yeah, I'm probably overthinking this, John. If you can afford a Tyreek Hill or whoever. So I'm just going to give you two quick. I like Nacua, if I'm pronouncing his name right. The guy's been balling out, and he's still relatively cheap. But I'm going to go with Gabe Davis, Buffalo at New England. I'm going to stick to the old mantra that Belichick takes out the thing you do best, which is Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen trying to scramble. So I think Gabe Davis's number is going to be called much more than it normally would be. New England defense is middle of the road, so Gabe can certainly get open. Averaging 13.5 points at $5,900. I think he's cheap enough on a good enough team in the right game and matchup that I can still go and spend big money on a Tyreek Hill or whoever.
Eric, wide receivers.
All right, well, this week I'm probably spending my money on Cooper Kupp going against Pittsburgh, who has a horrible defense, and Kupp's just been you know, a couple weeks in, he's been on a tear these first few weeks, and he's ready for a breakout game. But if I'm saving some money, because you got to have a couple wide receivers, I'm probably going to go with McLaurin going against the Giants. He always has big games against the Giants, and he's a cheap $5,400. Everybody scores against the Giants. So I get McLaurin in your lineup again for the price of $5,400. You can't lose.
Wide receivers, Justin.
Yeah, you know, initially I was going to say Brandon Ayuk because of the tasty matchup with the Vikings, but I absolutely see a scenario where San Francisco doesn't have to throw the ball in the second half like at all, so I'm a little leery, but I do like that matchup. Another one is Tyler Lockett for Seattle. Keep an eye, you know, it's questionable. He's probably going to play, highly likely. There's a little trouble in Seattle. I don't know if you guys read the whole DK Metcalf blowout type of deal with the media and these ridiculous penalties and basically him taking no responsibility for it. He is who he is. He's going to be who he is. And that's kind of that. And Pete Carroll is saying the opposite, that he needs to clean it up. So there seems to be a little trouble there. And I think this week, Tyler Lockett gets a little focus from Geno Smith, $6,000.
I was going to bring that up, Justin. And I was going to pick, he was going to be my guy too. My first guy out of the gate was Lockett. He just keeps catching passes while DK Metcalf is losing his mind on the field. Just trucking people for no reason. And yeah, anyway, I love
under the guise of I'm competitive.
I'm just that competitive. Exactly.
You're emotional and you're immature.
Yep.
Hold on. Maybe the guy's not super happy with his target share, and like all diva wide receivers,
yeah,
we could just say wide receiver, but it doesn't matter. Maybe he's still not happy with his share, and he's like edging his way towards a trade, which if DK Metcalf went on the trade block, every team in the NFL damn near would be lined up to pay whatever they had to. The guy is a monster. Now, I'm not saying I like the way he's doing it, but I don't think he has a personality problem. I think I think that's going too far. The guy's not like some bad, he's not like an Antonio Brown. He's just a guy that wants more and wants to hit. I mean, have you seen the guy when they turn the ball over, how he turns into a defender? And nobody wants to go toe-to-toe with this guy.
Jack, nobody said he was like Antonio Brown. He said he's immature.
I feel that's where it was going.
And that's why he has.
Yeah, wide receiver.
All right. Yeah. Speaking of wide receivers.
Since Calvin Johnson, wide receivers that way.
Yeah, and how's that worked out for most of these wide receivers that go over the top and it causes penalties that hurt their
Calvin
team?
Johnson, there's a big difference. Metcalf did.
This isn't off the field. This is on the field during the game in play, costing his team.
Steering the truck back to daily fantasy sports here, I'm going to give you the name Wandale Robinson, $3,800. That's all you have to spend. Last week, 8 receptions on 8 targets for 62 yards. That's 14 points. No touchdowns yet.
You're the guy at the flea market selling the jerseys that we all know are fake. They're not real, but we're still going to buy them.
I'm telling you, if you can get 4X out of your guys, you're going to win games. And so maybe you spent up to get Josh Jacobs. You got to spend down at some point, $3,800, Wandale Robinson. And all of my plays are value plays so that you can have the Jacobs and some of the other guys too. How about tight ends?
Yeah, there's no way your daily lineups don't have a guy like Wandale. Maybe not Wandale, but a guy like Wandale in your lineup. Especially if you're trying to squeeze Tyreek Hill in there, which you should, because he's the most consistent player in fantasy this season.
Yeah, and on that point, we know you're supposed to start Tyreek Hill. We all know that, but this is where we're trying to get some middle guys in. Tight ends, Eric.
Yeah, this is where I'm actually, like you're saying, this is where I'm spending my money. I'm putting Taylor Swift's boyfriend in there for $8,000 for sure. But if you need to save and you can get for half the cost, Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts has had 2 good games in a row, 2 15-point games in a row, and it seems like Ritter finally figured out that Kyle Pitts is the best player on his team. So I like Kyle Pitts saving you. It's $4,000. So, I mean, that's a cheap buy if you're looking to save some money on tight end.
Justin, tight ends.
Well, I think Ritter's always known that. He's just so bad that it looks like he's unaware that he has receivers on his team, tight end or receiver. But it is nice to see a couple weeks in a row out of Pitts. I like that call. I'm in kind of the same boat. This is a spot where I think I'm saving money this week. I'm going to take a shot on old Luke Musgrave for the Green Bay Packers. Pair it with my random quarterback call of Jordan Love, 32nd against the tight end, $3,300. There we go.
Yeah, I'm not even going to give you a tight end because every lineup I set is going to start with Luke Musgrave. You just can't. Then you can spend up for everything at $3,300. Jack, tight ends.
I'm going Darren Waller this week with Tyrod Taylor coming out there. Someone, I don't know if it was Eric, someone pointed out that McLaurin against the Giants always scores. I think Sam Howell's going to come out and have a pretty good game against the Giants and put up some points. I think Tyrod's going to have to throw the ball a fair amount. Saquon was, I think he's back, but do you trust the guy? I don't. How much do you use him? I don't know. But I think Darren Waller is definitely the best offensive weapon on that team. And then really quick back to Atlanta. Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, I think they're all amazing. And I think Ritter's getting marginally better each week. I just don't think he'll get better fast enough to take advantage of those guys' talents. And that includes Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, Arthur Smith is letting him throw. Pretty cool. All right. We are going to come back and talk United States Marine Corps waiver wire warriors. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Yes, the Loon text line is still down, but you can still reach us by getting that free Loon app, lower right-hand corner, little blue circle. Message the station directly. We'd love to help you out. Let's talk about the United States Marine Corps waiver wire warriors and who's out there for quarterbacks this week. Eric, we'll start with you.
You know, I kind of mentioned him earlier, Sam Howell. Sam Howell going up against the Giants, who had 18 points last week, should easily get over the 20 mark against the Giants. Available in almost 70% of leagues. Mm-hmm. So if you happen to lose your Chicago quarterback, Sam Howell, a good replacement. That's what I had to do in the guillotine league.
Right on. Justin, quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Josh Dobbs for Arizona, who plays Seattle this week. He's still available in 77% of leagues. Seattle has struggled against the pass this week, so it's not a bad matchup. And I talked about him last week. Dobbs has been pretty solid. The last two games have been a little bit rougher, but you know, he had three straight games of double digit points, two of which were over 20. So I think this is a pretty good matchup for him.
Jack, quarterbacks.
Well, all right, so I'm struggling at the quarterback thing because if it was me, I'd pick up Sam Howell. That's the guy I'd go with, but I'm trying to not repeat a name. So I'm going to say if for whatever reason you're hurting or you got a bye week issue, I mean, the Atlanta defense has been better, but Baker Mayfield and company this week, I mean, he still has a ton of offensive weapons. He has Mike Evans, God, when he's got Rashid White is at the running back. He's got enough stuff, and he can scramble. He doesn't get hurt, so he's probably going to play a full game. 10 points, 14 points out of Baker this week on a bye week if you need it. Otherwise, go with Sam Howell.
Yeah, Sam Howell would be my guy too. If he's not available, then and I mean this is an emergency type of situation. It's Derek Carr, deep league only, bye week blues only. But he put up 50 pass attempts in the last game. And he's up against Jacksonville, which is probably going to be negative, and he's going to have to throw more. But again, only in an emergency type of situation there. Running backs, Justin, who's out there?
Nobody.
Yeah, that's right.
It is a wasteland. All right, I'm going to give you two names as a, like, just in case and grab them. One is Craig Reynolds for Detroit because you can get him. You can pick him up. He's available in, like, 85, 90% of leagues. And then the other one is going to be Jordan Mason for the 49ers. Look, it sounds like McCaffrey is probably going to play, but I actually picked Mason up a week or two ago just in case because he is the guy. He's ahead of Mitchell in the depth chart and seems like he'd be first in line to get starts, which surprised me a little bit. But McCaffrey, I mean, McCaffrey's gotten injuries before, and I can see McCaffrey missing a game or two this season just as a precaution. San Francisco is absolutely headed for the playoffs, so simply because it's somebody you can actually get. Maybe grab Jordan Mason.
Jack, running backs.
Yeah, so first off, I know he's on a bye week, so it's not going to help you this week, but if you're just looking ahead, I think Chuba Hubbard is worth a consideration. He had one good game this season, but I'm hoping they just start to lean on him as the primary. I'm going to tell you where I'm taking a flyer this week, John. Talking about San Francisco with Samuel being questionable. I don't think McCaffrey should play at all. I don't know if you guys listen to Ben Lieber at all, but he said those soft tissue injuries are not a joke and that you can't play around with them. So, you know, the Niners are on a Super Bowl run. They've got Minnesota and Cincy, then a bye week. You can give McCaffrey 3 weeks off, right, because they can win these games. I like Kyle Juszczyk, the huge third, fourth running back, the one that kind of uses a fullback position. But he gets a lot of red zone looks, and I think they're going to be in the red zone 80% of the game against Minnesota. I guarantee you this guy gets at least a touchdown. He's probably going to get 8 to 10 fantasy points. So if you need a plug-in that you know is going to get a touchdown, I think you can go with Juszczyk. He's great at receiving. He can absolutely run the ball, and Purdy's going to look to him. So I think he's going to play the game and be in the red zone big time.
Eric, running backs.
I do like the Chuba Hubbard call. I mean, being on a bye week, he's worth getting on your bench. Zach Evans, a guy you can plug in this week. Looks like he might be the starter for the Rams against Pittsburgh. I also would recommend everybody handcuff your running backs, especially that Salvin Ahmed, Jeff Wilson. If you got there's these backups that you know your running back's going to get hurt, you better have your handcuff. It's kind of that critical time of the season, and why waste a bench spot with a guy you're never going to play? Get your handcuff so that people like myself don't steal your backup when your guy gets hurt.
So Kareem Hunt steps in to the Cleveland offense and immediately gets 16 points last week after their bye. He's available in 55% of leagues. Whether you like him or not, you're trying to win fantasy football games. And then I'm wondering still why Tajay Spears is still available in 65% of leagues. Number one handcuff, in my opinion. I know Tannehill's down. I cannot for the life of me believe that Malik Willis will be playing football or will be starting quarterback. He came in and he looked as bad as a quarterback could look in that game, in my opinion. So it might be some Will Levis time. I don't know, but Tajay Spears is splitting time with Derrick Henry. He's getting points. He's a borderline flex play every single week, and he's available in 65% of leagues. How about running backs, Jack?
Yeah, I refuse to have any Cleveland Brown on my team until they get rid of Deshaun Watson. I just can't, you know, and it hurts because there's players on there I want, but it's the only moral stand I can take against that deal. Okay, so for wide receivers, one, come on, let's not skip the main story here. Julio Jones is in the league, ladies and gentlemen. He's in Philadelphia. Now, if you're in a league with me, it's too late. I already got him, all right? But if you have nothing but dead space, look, it's the only emotional pick I had to make all year. I'm going to have Julio on my, he's my favorite player. But I'm going with Rashee Rice, Kansas City. I think he's available in 60% of leagues, something like that. He's going up against a 31st ranked pass defense this week with the Chargers. And again, Patrick Mahomes throwing him the ball. Then he's got Denver, Miami's a little tough defense, and then a bye week. But he's gotten double-digit points 4 out of 6 weeks, 3 out of the last 4 weeks. He's seen around 5 targets a game from Mahomes. I think that's enough to consider starting in a bye week as a wide receiver two, or maybe even a flex, Rashee Rice.
Eric, wide receivers.
Yeah, there's not a lot of options out there, John. I'm going to give you the name Rashee Rice. I think we were just talking about him, but I like Rashee Rice as well. I mean, he's had a couple double-digit fantasy weeks in a row, and he's got the best quarterback in the league. And maybe take a flyer on Julio Jones. Put him on your bench. Obviously, you're not starting him, but did sign with Philly on the practice squad. I assume he's going to be wide receiver number 3 in the near future, probably the following week, and worth a roster spot.
Justin, wide receivers.
If Josh Palmer is still available in your league, grab him. He's still available in like 50%. Otherwise, Curtis Samuel for Washington seems to have blown past Jahan Dotson. And in all honesty, like, I think he's given, you know, Terry McLaurin a run for his money as far as leading the team in receiving. And he is available in 60% of leagues. And then Josh Downs for Indy, who seems to fairly consistently get somewhere in the 10 to 12 point range, which isn't, you know, going to blow your doors off. But if you can get 10 or more points out of a spot start or an emergency start in your lineup, that's pretty good. He's available in 70% of leagues. And I think he's actually going to be even better with Minshew for the rest of the season than he would have been with Richardson. because he's a receiver. I'm not saying the Colts are going to be better, but I think the receiving is going to be better with Minshew at QB.
Yeah, Samuel and Downs and Rice would be my top three. Josh Palmer, sure. Looking down even a little bit lower, Wandale Robinson, I brought him up in daily. He's available in 91% of leagues. He got 14 points last week, gang. 14 points. Again, just like Justin said, if I have to bye week a guy in there and get 14 points or 10 points out of him, oh man, I'm jumping for joy. Since we're talking about it, shout out to Adam Thielen, who is turning back time and on an unbelievable pace this year.
Boy, do the Vikings regret getting rid of him? Oh. I mean, I don't know what they would have had to pay him, but you could have kept him, drafted someone other than Addison, who, I'll be honest with you, I'm just not overly impressed with, and have that anchor there for when Jefferson is out. Thielen is a leader. He's dominating right now.
Yeah.
With a garbage quarterback.
Tight ends, let's roll through them quick, Eric.
Yeah, John, this is a tough one. There's just not many options out there. Maybe a Dalton Schultz. He's actually had a pretty good year. He's available in about 35%. He's off this week, but, man, Houston's offense looks pretty good. I mean, everybody thought they'd be ranked like 30th or worse as offense, and that offense in Houston looks legit, and Dalton Schultz coming off a good game, coming off the bye week. I like Dalton Schultz.
Justin, tight ends.
Same guy I gave you during the daily play, Luke Musgrave, who's available in over 70% of leagues. Very likely you just go pick him up right now and start him this week against the Denver Broncos. Six targets last week, 34 yards. You know, six targets is pretty – or six receptions, I'm sorry, seven targets. So not bad for a tight end, and he's got a good shot of getting you 10 points.
Jack.
All right, let's talk about it here. You got two tight ends on a team that are ranked 10 and 12th. Probably haven't seen that since Aaron Hernandez was alive and Gronkowski were playing together. But Jonu Smith right now is really not rostered in many leagues, only 37%. The guy's the 10th ranked tight end. Despite having put up 0 points and no targets in the first game in which Kyle Pitts scored six, he has still, after six games, received more targets, had more receptions, had more points, beaten Kyle Pitts in every single metric. Kyle Pitts is ranked 12th. Jonu is 10th. Pitts is rostered 90%, and Jonu is 37. Makes zero sense. If you have Kyle Pitts or whoever, go get Jonu Smith. Put him on the bench at a minimum or put him in the flex. If you're comfortable starting Pitts at tight end, then Jonu Smith should be your number one flex player because that's how bad you look at fantasy football. Go pick this guy up and get him in the roster.
So he's really picked up steam over the last 2 weeks. It was a slow start to the season for him. Michael Mayer is the hot name. Las Vegas Raiders put up a 12. He had five catches for 75 yards. Hey, I don't know. I love Musgrave. I'm just the fourth guy giving tight end advice here. I think he's worth a stash, at least in a tight end mandatory start league. We got to roll through defenses pretty quick. Start it off, Justin.
Yeah, try and pick up that Las Vegas defense. They are available in 70% of leagues going against Chicago because they're going to be playing that pageant, whose dad apparently is the greatest arm wrestler in the world. It's like a real life over the top story. It's pretty wild. His interview with, I can't remember the guy's name where he arm wrestled him was hilarious. But I'd pick up that Raiders defense because his son's playing quarterback. And if you're a Vikings fan, you saw him chuck some balls just like up into the air for no reason last week. So grab that Raiders defense.
Defense, Jack.
Rams, they got Pittsburgh coming to town. They just put up 10 points against Arizona. Pittsburgh is way worse than Arizona even is. I know they've been negative this year, but for 1 week, you can certainly start the Rams defense with Pittsburgh coming to town.
Eric.
Yeah, Raiders, Justin said, I mean, those guys have had two good games in a row, and they got the Bears and Tyler Bridge, whatever his name is. No one cares what his name is because he's not going to do well. Otherwise, the Washington Commanders, anybody going against the Giants is worth a start.
And I'll take the Giants against the Commanders because Sam Howell holds the ball too long, just on a record pace for taking sacks. That's all that is. Not because they have a good defense. All right, we're going to come back and talk trenches. What's that?
Same stats as my ex-wife there, John.
We're going to come back and talk Trenchum and Benchum on the Fantasy Football Foursome. We're back on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Time for Trenchum and Benchum for the remaining games of Week 7. Now, six teams on by here. Carolina, Cincinnati, Dallas, Houston, the Jets, and Tennessee. Lots of players missing. So let's talk about starts for Week 7. Eric, kick it off with Detroit and Baltimore.
All right, well, I'm going to start with the home team, Baltimore Ravens. You know, Lamar Jackson, he's got to be there in each and every week. So I got him in the trenches. Zay Flowers, he's a wide receiver number two. Mark Andrews, he's got to be in there every single week. He's a top five tight end. I'm staying away from the running backs, and that Ravens defense being really good. But this week, I definitely would find that I'd go elsewhere playing up against the Detroit Lions. There's going to be some points here. So you definitely have better options than that Detroit or that Baltimore defense. On the Detroit side of the ball, Amon Ross, St. Brown, he's got to be in your lineups. I like Jared Goff this week. I think he does well. I mean, he's projected only 14 points, but I see Jared Goff getting at least 20 fantasy points. Gibbs is the running back to own there, so I don't mind Gibbs as a running back number two. Sam Laporta, he's a top five tight end. He's ranked number two. This guy's got to be in your lineup each and every week. He's one of Goff's favorite targets. And I'm sitting at Detroit Lions defense on the bench, and that's it for this game.
Baltimore is favored by 3 points. Jack, Las Vegas Raiders, Chicago Bears.
Yeah, so Raiders traveling to Chicago. I think Josh Jacobs is an RB1 on most teams, so he's going to be in the trenches. Devontae Adams, second week carrying a questionable tag. Last week on the stats, they said he had 90% of the snap share and still kind of balled out a little bit. But anytime a guy's ever scored 40 points in a given week, you got to keep him in the lineup. So Devontae Adams is a WR1 going into the week, regardless of the tag, unless it just goes to out. Jacoby Myers, I think he's ranked in the top 15 wide receivers right now, so I'd say keep him in as a WR2. No, I don't like the Raiders defense. I don't know exactly what's going on the Chicago side of the ball just yet, but I don't like the Raiders defense. I'm not starting them. I don't care for any of the tight ends, and if you think that Brian Hoyer is the play, then you go right ahead, but I don't think I would do that. All right, on to the Chicago side of the ball. Chicago's had some ups and downs. DJ Moore's had one really, really good week. I think, you know, if you have him on your roster, he's probably a WR2 or a flex. The running back is totally shot out at this point. We don't know exactly who's starting. You got names like Foreman in there. Johnson is questionable. I don't like any of them. I don't like the Bears defense. You know, I don't like a Bears quarterback. I'm anti-Justin Fields all the way. I mentioned that with a little side bet we have earlier in the year. No way I'm starting Agent or however you pronounce his name. So maybe DJ Moore. Other than that, you know, Cole Kmet, if that's your tight end, ride or die, go for it. But not a lot of starts on that Chicago side, John. I don't like the team, to be honest with you. I think Raiders should have this in hand pretty easy.
If I heard right, I think the Bears, that kid, the arm wrestler's son, I don't even know his name, is like the number one overall passer in the history of either D2 or something like that. Doesn't matter. He stinks. Yeah. Las Vegas Raiders favored by 3 points. I get, Jack, your Cleveland Browns versus the Indianapolis Colts. They don't even have PJ Walker on the depth chart, which is odd. So Watson is still questionable. I don't know if he's coming back. If he is coming back, I think he's worth a start this week. You know, if you've got Burrow, if you've got Prescott, if you've got CJ Stroud as a starter this week and you got to bench him, Watson coming back against the Colts defensive backfield is something to see. I'm not going to tell you to start P.J. Walker if he plays. Anyway, moving on. Jerome Ford is an RB2. I think Kareem Hunt can be flexed this week. Amari Cooper is a stud, no matter who's playing quarterback, and I think he's a wide receiver too. And that's it. David, burn your face in a campfire in Joku. Yeah, sure. In a mandatory tight end start, sure. And certainly you're playing that Cleveland Browns defense. Why? Because you're up against Gardner Minshew and the gang. Minshew, you can put him on the bench. Jonathan Taylor's probably going to get a 50-50 role this week, something tells me, with Zach Moss. So now what? Well, you got to start Jonathan Taylor for sure, but do you start Zach Moss? Maybe, as a flex play only. Pittman is a start. Josh Downs is a flex. And I think that's where things end. And Cleveland's favored in that game by 2.5. Justin, Buffalo, New England.
All right, for the Buffalo Bills, Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen, that Buffalo defense, James Cook, Gabe Davis, and Why not throw a little Dawson Knox in there? With Dalton Kincaid out with injury, Dawson Knox might not be a terrible spot starter at tight end this week as well. He's available in like 90% of leagues. So, yeah, I'll throw Dawson Knox in there at tight end. On to the New England side of the football. Start Ramondre Stevenson, and let's move on to the next game on the list.
Yeah, that's about it. Oh, that's a bad team right now. 30% chance of rain. Buffalo favored by 8.5. Eric, over to you. Washington taking on the Giants.
All right, Don. Well, it really determines if Daniel Jones or Tyrod Taylor's in this game on who you're putting in the trenches. Tyrod Taylor is absolute garbage. I don't know where Jack is trying to say that he's a better play than Daniel Jones. That's not even close to the truth. Tyrod Taylor is not a good quarterback, and he's not a good quarterback.
Better quarterback than Daniel Jones, but not fantasy-wise. I wouldn't start either one of them, but he's better than Daniel Jones.
I don't know. Daniel Jones's legs alone for fantasy. I mean, we're talking fantasy here, and so yeah. Daniel Jones' legs alone have given him a better upside for fantasy football. But if Daniel Jones is in there, I'm playing Darren Waller. If he's not, I'm benching him. And then Saquon Barkley's got to be there each and every week. And like John said earlier, that Giants defense, not a bad play going up against Washington. They definitely will get some sacks in this game. Going to the Washington side of the ball, Sam Howell, I don't mind playing him at all. He's a good sexy flexy as a quarterback. Terry McLaurin, he's the number one receiver there. Worth starting. Curtis Samuel, he's a sexy flexy along with and then Brian Robinson, he's the running back to start. And I don't mind that Washington defense against – they are ranked last against defense. This defense is going against the Giants, who is horrible. They're ranked 32nd. So worth a start this week, the Washington Commanders defense.
Washington favored by 2 points. Jack, Atlanta, Tampa Bay.
Yeah, so a couple of, you know – basically, this is for the division lead. Tampa's 3-2, haven't already had their bye week. Atlanta's 3-3. Tampa Bay's, despite having one less game, is only 9 points behind them on the year, but they've given up way less points, almost 30 less points than the Atlanta defense. So in the trenches for Atlanta, we're going to roll Bijan Robinson, Drake London. I like Jonnu Smith and Kyle Pitts. If you have zero running backs and you need 4 or 5 points to make sure you try to get something better than zero, then you can put Algier in. Otherwise, you don't start the guy. No Atlanta defense, and then we just move on to the Tampa Bay side of the ball. I mentioned Baker Mayfield earlier. I think, again, bye week, 1 week play against Atlanta, go for it. Mike Evans, WR1, Chris Godwin, WR2 maybe. Rashid White, he's going to be in at running back. The Buccaneers defense, I really don't mind. I think Ritter could, you know, probably turn the ball over here or there. And that's it. So it's not a super sexy game. It's really just if you're one of the fans of these teams in the NFC South kind of thing. But the normal suspects have got to be in there. And this is not a week that, you know, Algier is going to go out and put up 20 points. So just don't bank on that.
Tampa Bay is favored by 2.5. I get to break down Pittsburgh versus the Rams. Yuck. The Steelers. Ugh. Boy, I suppose, being it's a bye week, you may have to start some Najee Harris, flex play only. I think you can pick up better guys on the waiver wire than Najee Harris. Jaylen Warren, who is the lead back in Pittsburgh, is maybe a flex play too. I hate even saying it. George Pickens, what's going on? Nothing. My man, Allen Robinson. No, we're not starting him. Pat Freiermuth. Tight end mandatory start. That's it. This is a train wreck, and Matt Canada is awful. He is a terrible OC. They're chanting fire Matt Canada at Pittsburgh Penguin games. That's how bad it's gotten. Over to the Rams. I don't mind starting Stafford this week. Zach Evans looks like he is going to be the guy to take the ball. I'm not banking on Royce Freeman or Miles Gaskin or Daryl Henderson or any of those guys. I like Zach Evans as a flex. Cooper Kupp, of course. Puka Nacua, yes, for sure. Maybe Atwell, if you've got a bye week problem, as a flex play. And Tyler Higbee, yeah, why not? LA Rams favored by 3 at home. Justin, Arizona, Seattle.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Let's start Hollywood Brown, who's quietly having a pretty solid season out there in Arizona. Double-digit points in all but 2 games this season. He loves 17-16-ish range. And he's done that against teams like Dallas and San Francisco. So I'll throw Hollywood Brown in there for sure. Zach Ertz at tight end. And in two quarterback leagues, you know, you may want to start Josh Dobbs, but that's about it. I'm staying away from the backfield. Keontae Ingram got a bunch of carries, but didn't really do anything with it. And Imari Demercado seems to get all the passing work. He ran like 30 routes and had one target last week. So I'm not playing him either. I will play that Arizona defense, though. I don't think it's a terrible matchup with Seattle. On the Seattle side of the ball, we're going to get Geno Smith in there. Again, hopefully you have a few better options. Geno's not having a great season, not like he did last year, but he still has DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, so it's not a terrible play. DK's in there, Tyler Lockett's in there, Kenneth Walker's in there, and that's it. No Zach Charbonnet, Jackson Smith, the rookies just haven't done anything all season. And that Seattle defense is a safe play as well. Seattle, Arizona defenses will not cost you a win this week.
Thought it was interesting. There's a Twitter account that actually follows Zach Ertz and the number of tackles he's broken in his career. And that number is zero. But they update you every single week. So keep an eye on Trey McBride. 75% chance of rain. Look out. Seattle favored by 7.5 points. Eric, Green Bay, Denver.
All right. Green Bay going into Denver. Well, Russell Wilson is absolute trash, John. He's just, yuck. But somehow I managed to win a lot of fantasy games with this guy at my quarterback in a couple leagues. I'm putting him on the bench. This probably would be a good week to start him. I'm sure they'll have a decent week against the Packers. But, again, I'd put him on the bench. If you're going to start one of the receivers there, I think Cortland Sutton is much better than Jerry Jeudy. In fact, especially if you're in a touchdown league, he's got 4 touchdowns on the season. So he's a safe play as a wide receiver number 2. I do think that one of the two running backs are going to do well this week. Who's going to be Javonte Williams or Jaleel McClellan? I'm not sure. I'm going to go with the young guy, Jaleel. But one of these two are going to have a big game going against a really bad rushing defense in Green Bay. That's it on the Denver side. On the Green Bay side, I'm sitting Jordan Love, although he's a better play than Russell Wilson. Aaron Jones, he's a must start. He's a running back number 2. Christian Watson seems to be the wide receiver to own there, and that's about it on this side. And maybe give that Green Bay defense a shot.
Green Bay favored by 1.5. Jack, L.A. Chargers, Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, so this will be relatively simple, but the Chargers, you're going with Herbert. You're going to throw Allen in at receiver, Eckler at running back, Palmer's a WR2, and Everett at tight end. Bench the Chargers defense. Last 4 games, they've averaged over 5 sacks per game, and they've done well. But the first game against Miami, they had 0 sacks and were -5. Patrick Mahomes does not get sacked that often, so I don't think the Chargers defense shows up to do a whole lot against Kansas City. On the Kansas City side of the ball, obviously Patrick Mahomes is always going to be in there. Kelce, or I don't know if we're saying, you know, Taylor Kelce or you know, Travis Swift, but that guy's in. I like Pacheco as an RB1 this week. He's slated to do well. We talked about Rashee Rice and Pacheco in daily and also in waiver wire, so I think these are people you could pick up. Your boy Kadarius Toney, John, I know my that he's boy. Had a week or two. Yeah, your boy. Hey, you said the Browns were my team, so I can say whatever I want. Kadarius Toney, to me, I just don't trust him is the problem. He could do well, but I don't trust the guy. So I'm not putting him in there at all. I'm leaving him on the bench. Sky Moore and McKinnon, if you got bye week blues, go for it. But otherwise, on each of these teams, you got 4 to 5 primary starters. This should be a very good offensive game to watch. 4:25 kickoff. I think this is going to be huge for fantasy football this week. There's just too many stars in these two games.
All right. Kansas City favored by 5.5 points. Ooh, I get a big one here. Sunday night football, Dolphins taking on Philadelphia. Don't overthink it. Start them all. Tua, Mostert, Tyreek, Waddle. Well, don't start them all. No Durham Smythe. But I think this is going to be one heck of a fun game to watch. And then over to the Eagles, it's the usual suspects. It's Hurts, it's Swift, it's A.J. Brown. Devonta Smith has been a little, I don't know, disappointing for you this season so far. Start Julio. No, don't start Julio Jones. Not yet. Start Dallas Goedert. I think this is going to be a fun game to watch, and I hate the Eagles, so go Miami. I think it's going to be a blast. Philadelphia is favored by 2. I don't want any part of either defense, Although, did I see, I think Jalen Ramsey is going to be activated. And so he'll probably be shadowing A.J. Brown right away because he is.
Could you imagine being favored by two against a team that put up 70 this year?
I know.
Has the number one wide receiver, the number one running back, and a top five QB. And they just got Waddle back. I mean, he's just back, you know, for the first time, last week or whatever. I mean, I can't believe that the Eagles are favored by two, having just lost to the Jets against Miami. This should be a pick'em.
And they got Ramsey back. Monday Night Football, Justin. Oh, boy. San Francisco traveling to Minneapolis. What do you got?
Oh, I got a rough Monday for the Minnesota Vikings and all their fans, probably. Tuesday morning is going to be miserable. But you never know. Maybe they'll pull off like a Buffalo miracle and get a big upset like they did last year against Buffalo. All right, Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Brock Purdy, George Kittle, and that Niners defense are all in the trenches. If McCaffrey doesn't play, slide in Jordan Mason, and we will move on to the Minnesota side of the football. I'm going to start. I'm not sure, Jack, why you don't like Jordan Addison or say he isn't good. He's got four touchdowns already this season in six games. He's averaging about five receptions and 60 yards a game. And
I didn't say it wasn't good, Justin. I said that I wouldn't have traded Thielen to draft a wide receiver in the first round. They should have kept Thielen and drafted something where they need it.
They didn't trade him. They let him go because they couldn't afford to re-sign him because his contract was up.
Well, they should have kept him.
They should have. You know what? Forget what you can or can't do. Just do it anyway. Even though you can't. Okay, so I'm going to trench Jordan Addison. And I'm going to throw Alexander Mattison in there because running back is a bit of a wasteland still. TJ Hockenson is in the trenches. And that's it. I don't want to play Kirk Cousins. I'm not even thrilled about Alexander Mattison. He's only going in if you don't have like another starting running back and you have to put a running back in. I don't know what's going on with Cam Akers. He started off the first two games with five carries in each, couple receptions. And then last week he got like one carry. I don't think this is the week. It almost felt like they were just, and it makes sense. They're a lot more comfortable with Alexander Mattison's ball security than they were with his. So that's why Akers didn't hit the field last week really at all is kind of what I'm thinking. But I'm staying away from him right now for a while. That's it for this game.
I think it's because he's just not really that good. But that's just me. Minnesota favored by 8. No. San Francisco favored by 7. That's going to wrap up the Fantasy Football Foursome. 7, that's it. We want to thank our sponsors. That's Ruff's Wings and Sports Bar, the United States Marine Corps, ACC Midwest Transportation, and West Central Trophies. If we can help you out in anything in the world of fantasy football, get that free Loon app. Go in the lower right-hand corner, press that little message button, and it gets right to us here in studio. For Jack Culbertson, Justin Havemeyer, and Eric LeBrotton, my name is John Jennings. We'll see you next week on the Fantasy Football Foursome.